Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, in the first half, we have my friend Larry Elder. You know him from this show, talk show host. Powerful black man's going to be announcing his running for governor of California. Interesting conversation with him. First, I'll tell you, this show is sponsored by Simply Safe. You have 30 minutes. You never have to worry about home break-ins ever again because you got Simply Safe. Two eyes in there at simplysafe.com/Adam. And you customize your system and get a free security camera at simplysafe.com/Adam. So we'll talk to Larry. We'll talk to some callers as well. I have many other thoughts coming your way. Thought about our society and where we're at. First, I'll tell you about Geico. Do you own, do you rent your home? Well, you do one or the other, and then there is your automotive policy. How about you get your bundle working when you go with Geico? So you go to geico.com. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around the house. Save a bunch of dough when you go to geico.com. Get a quote and get your bundle working when you take your homeowner's or your renter's insurance and bundle it up with your automotive policy at Geico. That is geico.com.
When Jhenair Girardeau suspected her husband was cheating, she secretly recorded him and heard the proof. He was having an affair.
Why do they get to be happy? And why do I have to suffer? I just love him so much, I can't take it.
And then Jhenair began recording herself, revealing how and why she was about to kill two people.
Well, more breaking news now from Delaware.
Radnor police say Jhenair Girardeau ambushed the 33-year-old.
One of the big questions any mental health professional struggles with is, isn't everybody who commits murder mentally ill? To which most of us would say no, not necessarily.
From Podcast One, I'm Barbara Schroeder, writer-director of Netflix's Evil Genius, introducing Bad Bad Thing.
The shocking story that made headlines around the world.
Subscribe to Bad Bad Thing at Spotify, Apple, or anywhere you get your podcasts.
He turned me into a monster because he doesn't know anything about honesty.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Trevor Moore. With Gina Grad on news, Paul Bryan on sound effects, and a phone call from Larry Elder. And now, with all the threesome talk on the past few shows, he got turned on and had a menage a un. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on a choice. We're going to mend it. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
And Ball Brian.
5 and 5 is good enough for me.
Yeah. Well.
Oh, boy.
My fortunes have changed. Ball Brian has got me the ceramic travel mug.
Oh, look at that. New.
That's right. Container ceramics. Got the lid that pops on. And
that lid my actually might fit on other coffee mugs.
Oh, you're right.
Standard size.
You're right.
Just make sure it's down.
Yes. All right. So thank you, Bald Brian. I literally was thinking about it this morning.
Oh.
Left with a jumbo mug today.
It fits snugly, so you got to kind of squeeze it on there.
Yeah, the lid. And then I actually went to the other room and found a stainless steel one. And I thought, well, I'll just use this as a stopgap measure until Brian's beautiful gift shows up. But it also strikes me, I've been talking about Ginsu knives and travel mugs. And then Brian just comes to the spatulas and all that stuff.
Oh, the butcher, the trusted chef butcher knife.
I need to start upping my game. Like, I saw this really cool tractor mower the other day.
What's it called?
And I saw this Civil War chess set that was made of pewter from the Franklin Mint. That thing was sweet.
It's one of one.
Tell me more about that.
Yeah, and I also saw Max Zapata brought this up, which is Captain Steubing's jacket is going up for sale, the celebrity auction.
Real
boy.
Memory, how do you spell Steubing? Well, you're not the one to ask. Gina, how do you spell Steubing?
That would be a great... I honestly had a semi-philanthropic thought today, which is Dr. Drew actually sent me an interview of Captain Steubing talking about the actor. playing Captain Steubing as Captain Steubing and
sharing his thoughts on his journey.
It'd be a real celebrity power move to purchase Captain Steubing's jacket and present it to Dr. Drew.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Why is his uniform, why does it look like a waiter captain? From a restaurant.
That's just the way they rolled back then.
Okay.
All right. So
is that a collectible? So are we looking at a collectible?
Is this the hero jacket?
I think it is the hero jacket.
Set?
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Starting bid $500.
No.
All right. So I was walking along PCH Highway, Pacific Coast Highway, the other day, and I took a picture and. The reason I took this picture, which I'll describe, is I thought it was very indicative of us as a society. Mm-hmm. Larry Elder's going to call in 10 minutes and talk about his run for governor. So, you know,
gubernatorial candidate.
Yes,
Larry Elder.
It's on target, on par, on point. But I've oftentimes said the real problem when a society is sliding, and I've chronicled it in books, which is if the law just sort of is, if one segment in our society, like homeless, can do whatever they want on the beach mm-hmm. and sleep wherever they want, pitch a tent wherever they want, park their Winnebago wherever they want, and they park that Winnebago in front of a house in Venice Beach where the guy paid $3 million for it and is paying huge property taxes. And the guy in the house has to pull every permit and go by every letter of the law and is getting parking tickets and taxes and levies and everything else. And then the guy in the Winnebago lives scot-free.
Footloose and fancy free.
Yeah. Empty bag. We can't do anything about that guy. That's society sort of coming apart. That's a bad sign. And the picture I took, which you'll have to, I didn't want to get too close, but I can, Maxipad will throw the picture up there, which was, there was a bus stop, mm-hmm. and it was on PCH, and I noticed a homeless woman who was just flopped out on it. And I have to kind of pull in a little on it, Chris, but
I see a leg.
Yeah, there's a homeless person was completely passed out and using the entire bench.
Right.
25 feet away, there was a Hispanic woman who was waiting for the bus as you push back out again. So the taxpayer, the person that is going to work, the person that is using the bus, has to stand on the sidewalk.
It's unusable.
A safe distance away from the bench that the taxpayer is supposed to be sitting on, waiting for the bus, because a non-taxpayer is sleeping on it. And I thought, this is it. This is where we're at. It's official. This picture of the hardworking Hispanic lady who's probably going to take the bus down PCH to go to the Colonies and clean some celebrity house. And then take a long bus ride back to, you know, East L.A. or wherever she calls home. She must keep a safe distance from the non-taxpayer who does not want to work and who feels like doing whatever they want all day, every day. And this is indicative. This is something.
And to add to that, there are in places like Santa Monica and other places, there's specific architecture to discourage things like this.
You know, hostile architecture or something.
Exactly. With, you know, like a little loop. So there's like individual seating. Exactly. And that's to prevent this. But there is a pushback against that, which I don't think surprises you.
Yeah, you see benches, and you'll see them all over the place out here. It's probably a good measuring stick for your city or your society, which is, as I've always said, the second we started putting barbed wire around freeway signs, we should have just stopped right there and went, what the fuck is going on in this city? But the next good marker for that is benches that are sort of rounded and tilted forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You see the rounded, they sort of look like an eyeball if you looked at a profile of them.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're shaped like an airplane wing. Yeah. Right.
You see them at the airport.
You can't sleep on them. Yeah. And, or they just have a divider in them.
Come to an oval point.
Yes.
Which is an oxymoron, but you know what I'm saying.
Right. So, are you designing your outdoor furniture so that homeless – and maybe Barbecues Galore is going to have to start selling a line of non-floppable homeless outdoor patio
Barker
furniture.
Loungers.
Yes, in case people want to come in your backyard and crash. The other thing I always like, too, is when they skateboard proof everything.
Oh, yeah.
Right, with the spikes.
And, with the speed bumps. But I have a little less disdain for that. That I understand. But yes, we design benches in terms of people spending the night in it and trying to thwart them. Yes.
They've gone from the welded notches you see to prevent skateboarders to like decorative ones now. They're in the shapes of leaves. Mm-hmm. Like they look as though they are. It's like, oh, a leaf just happened to fall here made of cement and iron.
Gina's got a ring around the collar commercial she wants to share with us, which I'm excited about.
I've been thinking about vestiges of the past. The other one that came to mind last night was Andy and I were joking around. He said something like, oh, I'm in the doghouse. And I was like, the doghouse.
Yes.
A literal doghouse. Nobody refers to them because nobody who listening to this could imagine keeping your dog outside with just like a little box for them to protect themselves and that's where they live. Nobody does that anymore.
No.
The doghouse.
We went from the doghouse to the dog bed.
That's right.
And I've definitely there's no doubt in my mind. I'm 1,000% I would stake my life on this. I have spent far more on dog beds than my parents spent on beds for either one of their children, 0 to 18. I'll include cribs. I know I've exceeded that number. I have.
So we're talking upwards of like $400?
I've bought at least four or five dog beds in my day. Phil still prefers the sofa.
Of course.
Only the best, though.
Yeah.
But
some of those dog beds are nice. I could nap in those.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
There's dog beds. There's dog
like
beds.
Memory foam dog beds.
We went from the dog house to the dog bed.
Yes.
Which is, so first move is no dogs sleeping outside. Second move is they can move indoors. Third move is, well, if they're going to move indoors, they're going to need their own bed.
Get comfy wumpy.
Right.
So the other phrase that I haven't heard in very, very many years, maybe, I don't know, 2-3 decades, ring around the collar. If you asked your children what they thought that was, I don't think they'd have an answer.
No.
I think it was a children's song.
Right. And so here's a classic commercial where they made ring around the collar a thing. And this guy sells it like you wouldn't believe. It's a guy sitting on a couch watching TV and his wife's about to join him.
Well, not only was ring around, so ring around the collar or good coffee. Or dust everywhere.
Well, these are referendums on you as a person.
Yes.
As a woman, as a housewife. It was your job when your mother-in-law would come to stay with you.
Yeah.
And the first thing she did when she walked into the entry hall
would be to
go to her purse, pull out white gloves, and start dragging them along every horizontal surface in the house just to make sure you were doing a fine job of dusting.
And then disinfecting.
The other thing she would do, the mother-in-law, when she came to the home, is she'd walk in and she'd go... She'd give a sniff, want to make sure that the house smelled good.
Yes, and I just thought of one more that hasn't completely gone away, but I think has gone away significantly. Water spots.
Oh, the spot maker.
Yeah.
That's right. Embarrassing.
Yeah, very embarrassing. But let's check out this couple and the biggest problem in their life.
So he's watching TV.
Yeah.
All right.
You've got ring around the collar.
Can you believe it? A girl would tell her boyfriend he's got ring around the collar.
What?
Me? Ring around the collar?
Tub stains like this need whisk.
But I've got this powder. It's...
Whisk is better.
I've got
and when
this
whisk
powder.
Gets that ring around the collar...
Your whole wash is clean. No more ring around the collar. Just like on TV.
No more TV.
Oh, she's going to get a blowjob now.
And I love how also it's clear that they live in an apartment complex because they have like a multi-use laundry room.
Now you bring me on to something I've never... thought about, or I haven't thought about in a million years, which is all these commercials for all the detergent and everything. They start off like in the living room with the guy watching the ball game. Then they end up doing a tutorial in the laundry room where the guy's standing there.
It's
like, well, it is the playoffs. And I do have money on this game.
But show me how the liquid detergent's better than the powder.
TiVo hasn't been invented yet, but let's just go down and spend 40, 50 minutes standing by the washing machine while you explain to me that my powder is subpar to your liquid, and here's how many loads of laundry. There was never, the guy never put a fight up.
No.
It was just like, come on down to the laundry room
and let
me explain to you.
It's never, let's do this later.
How it works. And then he was always stripped down to a t-shirt because, God forbid, there were other shirts in the hamper that they could have experimented on. No, it was like, I need the shirt off your back, literally.
It's all, get it off right now.
And nothing makes her hotter than a clean collar.
Yeah. I don't even know. I
wonder if this candidate has evolved. Like, it feels kind of 80s. Like, because she's not the one who's failed. She's telling him, like,
this is true. She is
imparting the knowledge.
You want some ass,
this
you get 80s. Rid of that.
This is the 80s.
Sorry,
yeah, this is the 80s evolution of this. In the 60s and the 70s, it was
an indictment.
Yeah, it was her fault. Yeah. He was getting his dress shirt out and saw a ring around the collar, and she was humiliated. She was devastated. Or they went into the Chinese laundry, and there was an ancient Chinese secret. And those are all bygone ways, right?
Yeah. R.I.P. ring around the collar.
Yeah, I will tell you, if you do, ring around the collar is a thing.
Yeah.
If you do enough TV and you wear enough suits on TV, your fucking collar is a mess because they'll put the makeup down your neck and then you'll sit down and then it'll get all over it and it does not want to, the makeup doesn't want to come out of the collar.
Hold on a second. For the, I know it's a low number, but for the minuscule amount of men who don't wear makeup on a daily basis, who are these commercials for?
No, ring around the collar exists. It just exists more for the elite class like myself.
Understood.
Who make frequent appearances on TV.
That's like your little
TV.
Toilet paper in the...
Yeah.
This was more, I assumed, when the rank and file generally wore the collar and suit or collar and tie to work. Mm.
Right. And then also, I guess, certainly in the 70s, the guys had longer hair, which probably didn't help. And then they also put a lot of pomades and creams stuff in their head, too.
Soul glow.
Although,
let it shine through.
Max Zapata, there was a whole thing. I don't know if you guys remember this, but the wet head is dead. Now there's the dry look. Do you remember guys went from the sort of Brill cream kind of slicked back pomade kind of look to the dry look? There was a whole look and everything got real bushy and dry,
right,
and everything. There was a whole
feathered and swept back. And
yes, there was a whole version of that. We'll get into that.
Okay.
Larry Elder is on the line. Larry?
Adam, I heard you guys talking about hair.
Yes.
If you want to have a good time, Google Larry Elder and fro. And then hit images and stand back.
I will. I would love to see you in all your glory from 1977.
Man, I had some serious kink up there,
Larry. By the way, hold on. Whoa,
you
Larry!
Are kidding.
Wow, that is
That's impressive.
I told you,
huge fro. Larry Elder is running for governor of California, and you can go to electelder.com for more information. I also should put in a plug for Uncle Tom, which is a very good documentary that Larry has made as well, and I have other thoughts about that. Now, just to pay you a quick compliment, Larry, we often talk about the IMDb scores here, and everything is between a 6.8 and a 7.4. Uncle Tom, 8.8 on IMDb, so good on
That's
you, Larry.
That's right. Higher than any of the five best documentaries nominated this last Oscar season. Made more money than all five of those at the time of the nominations combined. It was a critical success, a commercial success. We hired a consultant, Adam, to try to get the Academy to consider it for Academy Award consideration. Could not get arrested.
Well, they're not going to help the black man out, especially if the black man's a Republican.
If the black man is a liberal, the black man has a Molotov cocktail in his hand, they'll help him out. But if he's a conservative, that's a whole different deal.
Well, let's talk about you and your journey. I know you grew up out here in Southern California.
That's right. Born and raised. My father came here back in 1945, right after the war, and believe it or not, worked full-time job, two full-time jobs cleaning toilets, was able to save enough money so that his, so that he bought us a house in an area of LA, which we thought was uptown, called South Central. Stay-at-home wife, my mother, three boys, and my mom did not work outside the home until the youngest of my siblings, was in middle school. He did that on a janitor's salary, again, two full-time jobs to be sure, but the house right now, it costs $600,000, I just Googled it, on Zillow, and anybody who tried to replicate my father's path to the middle class could not do it because of the cost of housing and the cost of living now in California, because we have discouraged building, because the environmental extremists are running this state.
Well, a question that I was going to ask that was posed by our booker, Mike August, which is, he has always claimed that Schwarzenegger got elected governor, had all these plans to do all this stuff, but ran into unions and the legislators and couldn't get anything done. Because even though he was in charge, the real people who were in charge were still the sort of old school, and he couldn't get around them and get anything done. And he said to me, ask Larry how he proposes to get around all these unions and the California legislation and all that. How do you, what is your plan to contend with them?
Well, in my opinion, Arnold Schwarzenegger caved. He had them intimidated. There was a time when I think he got, could have gotten a lot of stuff done, but instead they pulled a fast one on him. The state taxes went up under him. The car tax went up under him. He did not have to do that. He sold out, in my opinion. Switch became more and more left-wing. I don't intend to do that. Arnold Schwarzenegger, by the way, vetoed hundreds of bills. Not a single one was overridden. The governor of California, even when he's dealing with a hostile legislature, has a great deal of power, not least of which, of course, is the ability to veto bills. There's a line item veto. There's the ability to declare a public emergency. And regarding homelessness, regarding the high cost of living out here in California, regarding the declining quality of education, I think these are three instances where a governor, if he's got a skilled lawyer, could declare a public emergency and do something about it. Regarding education, for example, experts tell me that between 5% and 7% of public school teachers out of the 300,000 are incompetent and should be fired. You know how many teachers are fired every single year out of the 300,000, Adam? 2.2. 2.2. What occupation where there are 300,000 people only has 2.2 getting fired every year because of incompetence? That's what's going on in this state, and the worst teachers end up in the worst school districts that need the best teachers. Urban parents, according to the polls, the majority of them want choice in school, and of course the teachers union is adamantly against that, and they are the largest contributor to this man, Gavin Newsom. He has got to go, and this is a two-step deal, as you know. The first step is, do you want Gavin Newsom out? And if 50% plus one vote says yes, he's gone, and whoever gets the second highest number of votes will succeed him within 30 days after the Secretary of State certifies the election. So back to your question, you don't have to cave. 2.2 million people signed this petition, Adam, including independents and Democrats who voted for this man. They're fed up with the crime. They're fed up with the homelessness. They're fed up with the declining quality of urban education. They're fed up with the high cost of living, the high cost of housing, and they want something done. And I think that there is going to be somebody like myself to explain the connection between all these bad things and left-wing policies. And once people get it, I think they're going to react to it and put pressure on their local politicians to go along with some of the things I want to do.
Well, at some point, you're going to be called a racist, I guess, ironically, which is always funny. I mean, they already call you Uncle Tom.
They're already doing that, Adam. In fact, what Gavin Newsom said is that this recall effort is led by Trump-supporting white nationalists. I may have voted for Donald Trump, but I don't think anybody can accuse me of being a white nationalist. And that's what they do. They always yell, Trump, 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 Trump. I've been asked that many times by reporters, what about the fact that you voted for Donald Trump? Well, I'm a registered Republican. I voted for the Standard Bearer, as I will vote for the Standard Bearer in 2024. I haven't voted for a Democrat since Jimmy Carter, and I regret that.
Yeah, and then Democrats vote for Democrats. That's kind of how we do things. So on that,
how we do things.
On that subject, we have a lot of Democrats in California. Are Democrats just going to vote for the Democrat, even if the Democrat they're voting for is not really serving them or effective, or are people willing to just go, Look, I like Larry Elder's ideas. I don't like this homeless situation. I don't like the crime situation. I don't like the school situation. Like, most Democrats would be for school choice. Most people that care about kids, especially the inner city kids and the kids that suffer the most, would be all for school choice. So if they said, forget about Democrat, Republican, one guy wants school choice, the other guy doesn't. Why not just vote for the guy who wants the school choice?
Absolutely. I couldn't have said it any better. And the beauty of the private voting ballot, the private voting booth, is that you can go in there, pull the curtains, and vote for whomever you want. You don't have to tell your friends you voted for a Republican. You don't have to tell your friends that you defected and voted for the other party. You're voting for Larry Elder. Larry Elder has common sense. Larry Elder was born and raised here. He's got some ideas about what to do about the high cost of housing, ideas what to do about homelessness. And you don't treat homelessness by just building more homes. All you're doing is attracting people from the other states to come here and get a free home. Until you deal with the underlying reason why people are homeless, you're not going to solve the problem. And government can't do that. You got to involve the churches. You have to involve people like Pastor Jack Hibbs from the Calgary Baptist Church, from the Calgary Church, rather. He says, let us do it. We know how to convert people far better than can government. We can do it more effectively. We can do it more efficiently. And we can do it more cheaply. Get us involved. What Gavin Newsom wants to do is appease the teachers' union by spending more and more money on education. We spend more money than virtually any other state. We're getting lousy results. And I think a lot of people are fed up, including Democrats, including independents. And again, I believe that they're going to go into that booth on September 14th, close that shade and say, I want this guy out. I want somebody with good common sense. This is not rocket science. This is a state that has an infrastructure that was built for a state half the size because of the failure to prepare for the future, the failure to build enough dams and aqueducts and storage tanks. We have a situation where we have water shortages. How come Israel, sitting on a body of water called the Mediterranean, is water self-sufficient? We're sitting on a little body called the Pacific Ocean, and we're not. This is outrageous. We got all these brainiacs in Silicon Valley. We can't figure this out. The anti-growth people need to be stood down, and once people understand the connection between all these problems and these anti-growth environmental extremists, I believe they're going to vote to get rid of Gavin Newsom, A, and to then vote for Larry Elder to replace him as the next governor of California.
Well, let's talk about schools, because I know you're passionate about that, and I feel the same way you do. If the results were good, I would be down with the status quo, but I feel like we just spend more money every year and the results get sort of worse. I know you happen to have a lot of statistics at the tips of your fingers and tongue as well, and so why don't you tell us some depressing statistics about California,
okay.
and then we can get into solutions.
Well, according to a study that was done by an organization called the Fordham Institute, 44% of Philadelphia public school teachers with school-age kids put their own kids in private school, as opposed to 10% of families nationwide and 6% of black families nationwide. Roughly 39% of Chicago public school teachers with school-age kids have their own kids in private school. Out here in L.A., it's around 30%. That's twice the percentage of non-public school households that have their own kids in private schools. The people who know the schools best are the teachers, and they're not putting their own kids in them. What does that tell you? It's as if you open up a restaurant, put a sign outside and said, come on in, just don't eat the food. What to do about it? Give people choice. Let the money follow the child rather than the other way around. And it turns out it even makes the public schools better because they lose students if they don't compete, if they don't improve, and it puts pressure on everybody to improve. But the bottom line is the first step toward escaping poverty and getting to the middle class is to get a decent high school education. A left-wing think tank called the Brookings Institution has something they call the Millennial Success Sequence. And the first step, finish high school, presumably one where you can read, write, and compute at grade level. Even the ones who graduate from these urban schools, Adam, end up going to remedial school for math and for reading when they get into a JC or to a four-year institution because they're so far behind other people. It's outrageous. We're spending more and more money and getting poorer and poorer results. This has got to turn around. I'm a product of the public schools. And I know the difference because I went to Crenshaw High School, the school that was featured in Boys in the Hood, and it was decent enough for me to get to a good school. But I even know the quality was inferior to other better public schools because I was bused for one semester to a school called Fairfax, and the difference was night and day. And that was when Crenshaw pretty much graduated everybody on time. Now the dropout rate in many of our urban schools is nearly 50%. I picked up the newspaper a couple years ago, and there was a story about my former high school, Crenshaw High. Only 3% of kids could do math at grade level. This is an absolute assault on the future of these poor kids. 80% of the students enrolled in public schools in California are black and brown. White kids with money are not putting these kids in public school. They wouldn't do it on a bet. Gavin Newsom didn't have his kids in a public school. As I mentioned, his kids still enjoyed in-school private education while he shut down education for everybody else. It's an outrage. It's an outrage, and this man has got to go.
Brian has a question.
Larry's little factoid, just to add in, to support what Larry was saying, his little factoid about teachers, public school teachers putting their kids in private schools reminds me, my wife used to work for an insurance company, large one, one you've seen commercials for on TV. And when it came time for us to insure our house and our cars, she's like, no, let's go with this other company. I've done the research. I know which one's better. You could be a company man or a woman, and you'll vote with your wallet.
Yeah, well,
absolutely. I remember Adam, when Antonio Villaraigosa first ran, he ran one time and lost. One of the reasons he lost is because during a debate, somebody asked him why he didn't have his own kids in public school. And he said, quote, I will not sacrifice my kids, close quote, by putting them in a public school. I wanted them to get a superior education. Hello, is this thing on?
Oopsie.
He's right.
Well,
he never said it again, but it was one of those moments of honesty.
To be fair to Villaraigosa, I don't think his brain could control his tongue sufficiently. Had difficulty forming sentences.
Or control something else. You know, we won't go there.
Yeah, or his honker. So what would – I always ask, but maybe it's my naivete. You can't pin Newsom down or anybody down. But to be pro – to never stop talking about poor black and brown kids, which is a Gavin Newsom thing. It's always, you know, as soon as the pandemic kicks in, it's all about the poor people and the brown people and the black people and the disenfranchised. Then be against school choice, there's no way to solve that riddle other than being in bed with the teachers' unions. There is no logical explanation, but what is their explanation, or are they just never asked?
They're never asked. They are never asked. There is no explanation. How do you square that circle? How do you square the circle allowing people to demonize police officers when polls show that people living in the inner city recognize that they're more likely to be victims of crime? They want the police manpower to remain the same or be even higher. How do you square that circle while talking about your concerns about black and brown people when the number one responsibility of government, of course, is to protect people and property? And this governor is not doing it. And to say that you care about black people but don't give a damn about the quality of their education, to say you care about black people but don't care about public safety, doesn't make any sense. And I think I can make that argument in a more effective way than maybe many of the other people can, because I've been doing this for 30 years.
Yeah. Well, I'm a fan of yours, and I'm obviously a fan, and you have so many reps on talk radio, I mean repetitions, and being able to articulate your point quickly and to have the data
very
at your
quickly
fingertips is great. I wanted to play a clip that I knew would drive you insane. It was Kamala Harris on BET, and she was talking about voter IDs, which I think we know where you probably land on that subject. Now, it's interesting because voter ID was Jim Crow 2.0 10 minutes ago, and now that people have sort of found out that most Americans agree with voter ID, a lot of people are changing on it, but Kamala's kind of sticking with it. She's talking to Soledad O'Brien, who does a horrible job of asking any follow-up questions. It was making the rounds in the news that, you know, Kamala said a lot of people in rural areas don't have access to a Kinko's or a photocopier.
And didn't we find out that those people found that to be wildly insulting?
Yeah, but that's the part that everyone kind of latched onto. But if you listen, it's the end part that I find nonsensical and sort of clinically insane, but we'll just listen to the 1-minute clip, Larry.
People are talking about potential compromises. Mm-hmm. Is agreeing to voter ID one of those compromises that you'd support?
I don't think that we should underestimate what that could mean. Because in some people's mind, that means, well, you're going to have to Xerox or photocopy your ID to send it in to prove you are who you are. Well, there are a whole lot of people, especially people who live in rural communities, who don't. There's no Kinko's. There's no Office Max near them. People have to understand that when we're talking about voter ID laws, be clear about who you have in mind and what would be required of them to prove who they are. Of course, people have to prove who they are, but not in a way that makes it almost impossible for them to prove who they are.
That was.
What does her last statement mean? Of course, people have to prove who they are, but not. But how does that work at the airport, for instance? You have to prove. By the way, this is such soft bigotry of low expectations. It's the most racist thing I've ever heard in my fucking life. Sorry, Larry.
Joe Biden saying the reason. Well, studies show that black entrepreneurs are just as good as white entrepreneurs. They just don't have access to lawyers and accountants. Guys, I got to go. I have another interview. Please, electelder.com, electelder.com. Adam, God bless.
God bless, Larry. Thanks for taking the time.
Yeah, but who has a better winery? Plump Jack? What does Larry have?
Yeah. You know, my thing, whether you agree, what kind of grape does Colt 45 come from? Whether you're Republican or Democrat or whatever, here's my whole take. Let's give Larry a shot, see what he does, see if it works.
And you know what's funny about that? I think we can prove it the other way, too. I think that ironically, Newsom is the great uniter since everybody wants him out. I heard John and Ken say, I don't
everyone
care.
Everyone can agree.
Yeah, I don't care if it's another Democrat. If it's not Newsom and it's someone good, we'll take him. And I think Democrats are saying the same thing. I don't care who it is. It's just not, it can't be this guy.
I understand Larry's on a, sorry to interrupt you. I understand Larry's on a media, you know, thing. No. Yesterday interviews. I would have loved the opportunity to ask him. I'll just throw it out to you guys because he's a bit older than us. He's from a previous generation. He's a company man. You know, he's a Republican. He supports Donald Trump no matter what. But I think to a lot of younger people, I can speak for myself, like, I would like a politician who picks a little of that and a little of that. Mm-hmm. Is in blind faith to Democrats or Republicans. I think that's what got us into this mess.
That's true. And he did say, you know, I vote for Trump because I vote for my party line. So that's a good question.
I would have liked to ask him that. But you know, wouldn't we be better served with a guy who's like, I'm not dogmatically attached to Republicans or Democrats. I'm going to pick the best policy and we're just going to drive down that lane.
Yeah, I agree.
It's utopia, but is that going to work? Would that ever work?
Well, I have no idea. It'd be nice if people were a little more flexible and a little more fluid. I think what he's saying is people level this charge of you voted for Trump, and the bottom line is he would never vote for Hillary Clinton.
But that's my point, is like I'm blindly going to follow this.
No, I think he hates Hillary Clinton.
Specifically?
Yeah, I think he thinks she would be bad at president.
But he did point out specifically he hadn't voted for a Democrat since
Carter, and that was a mistake.
Yes, but he agrees with the policies of the Republicans. So he's lower tax, lower regulation, school choice, or whatever, all the stuff that it is. I think there's also...
I just think we're in the day of less dichotomy, more a little of this, little of
that. The nuance.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I mean, at the end of the day, I think you have to separate the person or the personality. You can argue Trump's a crazy personality, but you can also argue Hillary Clinton's her own personality.
Oh, absolutely.
But you go, okay, so let's remove the personalities. What do we want? Mm-hmm. Do we want higher taxes or lower taxes, or do we want the... Do we want the corporate tax raised, or do we want border security or school choice or environmental whatever or birth control or abortion or whatever? And you have to sort of figure out who's all there, and then you remove the crazy person who's at the top
of each.
And you go, well, what would you like?
But whatever happened to it's we've said it so many times, it's a cliche. Oh, well, I'm a fiscal Republican, but I'm a social Democrat. Well, where is that guy? Like, don't worry about women's bodies. They know what they're doing. If this person's trans, it's none of your business. Let's lower the taxes. Let's fix the potholes.
Most Republican guys I know are very live and let live, but want the potholes fixed. Not interested as much
in gay abortions
or things like that.
Leave everybody alone and fix the infrastructure.
I think that's most of the guys I know on the Republican side. But then they don't make as much noise as the handful of sort of Bible thumpers. Mm. All right. We got a call from Raleigh. Guy wants to pull balls over there. We'll talk to him in a second. First, I'll tell you about Simply Safe, award-winning home security system engineered with the latest technology to keep your family safe. But what really sets Simply Safe apart is its highly trained security experts who are always there when you need them. When the alarm goes off, a person who cares is going to be on that call. When they are going to make that call, somebody who cares. That's right. Simply Safe cares. And fire department, police department, whoever they need to notify, they shall. Even if you're just having a problem setting up your system, a person who cares will be there with a friendly chat, a quick resolution. U.S. News has called Simply Safe the best home security of 2021. Find out how Simply Safe can help make you feel safe and secure your home. Just visit Simply Safe, two eyes, simplysafe.com/Adam today. Customize your system and you get a free security camera. That is simplysafe.com/Adam. Do that today. Get that free security camera. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back with the Philip from Raleigh, North Carolina, right after this. Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
And now, a totally innocuous word that sounds dirty when Mike Dawson says it.
Swallow.
Ew. Let's get back to the Adam Carolla Show.
All right. Max Zapata found the commercial about the wethead being dead.
Oh.
This is a part of my childhood I haven't thought about in a million years.
What's the product or the company?
It's like a hairspray versus, I think, a pomade.
Okay.
It was this really weird, dry look. The most off-putting part of it is big sideburns started coming in as the dry look came in, and that was kind of fun on the 27-year-old dude, but the 63-year-old dude with the weird gray pubes coming all the way down the side of his head always felt weird to me. Sorry, go ahead, Max Spana.
The Gillette Company is delighted to announce the wethead is dead. Now you don't have to use oil, creams, or even water on your hair. Introducing the dry look. Dry control for your hair. Keeps it neat, full, natural, but dry. And you set just the degree of dry control you need for your own hairstyle.
That's good.
Yeah. The wethead is dead.
Now, no one wants the dry look anymore, right?
Well, yeah, you want to look moisturized, but I love that they said that that was a natural look. That was clearly Lego hair.
Yes.
That was clearly
total
Snap-on
Lego
hair.
Head. All right, let's see. We got Philip from Raleigh. Philip, you want to pull balls this Saturday early show?
Hi, guy. Yes. Yes, I would be. I would be honored to pull your balls any day.
Yeah, everyone makes that joke. even Mike August will make that
That's
joke on occasion,
joke.
And I have to explain. I'm a comedian, so I'm not amused.
Some butter under his red balls.
Yeah. What are you doing over there in Raleigh?
I'm a neuroradiologist.
Look at you.
Bald probably knows well.
Buddy, you and I have worked together. Maybe not in person.
For sure, man. For sure. And I am just inspired by you and your courage and your success and your story. And I loved your book. And
Thank you.
So it rings true. Everything that you talk about, I'm kind of picturing it in my mind because that's kind of what I do. So
it is it is interesting when you get on in life a little and you talk to people as I do after the shows all the time, I ask the guys what they do. It's like, oh, I'm a commercial airline pilot, or a woman who says, I talk to her in Golden, Colorado. Like, oh, remember me? I'm the commercial airline pilot. I'm the neurologist, or I'm the physician, or I'm the attorney. And I always go, oh, yeah, hey, good, good for you. These people would have been the most powerful people that my parents knew.
Oh,
if
yeah.
we knew one no, person
yeah. royalty
who was a neuro, sorry, what
Couldn't
is
even
it?
Say
neuroradiologist.
It.
Neuroradiologist. You would have been the winner in the Corolla Parents Friends sweepstakes 10 times wow. over.
Well, there would have been references like, well, Philip said.
Yeah,
well,
you said. Defer to him yeah, on yeah, everything. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I mean,
I wish I'm not even the winner in my house. So I appreciate that distinction. But yeah, that's great.
What are you working MRI machines, CT? What are you, all the stuff?
I do all the imaging of the brain and spine, MR, CT, myelograms, lumbar punctures.
Do you do the phlebotomy for contrast? Because I have a bone to pick with the neuroradiologists who do the they're not the best.
No, actually, I leave that up to our CT and MRI technologists
because bless.
They do that all day, every day.
God bless you.
I believe in people doing kind of what they do well, and practice makes perfect. And yeah, so I let them do that. And yeah, I'm in the back room reading the exams.
Are you
can't get your hands dirty with the patients?
Yes, yes, yes.
I hear you're friends with my old friend Beth Ringwald, who moved out there with her physician husband.
Yes. Actually, I am friends, well, in a sense, I'm friends with Ken.
Ken's the husband.
And yes, Ken is the husband. Ken and I work pretty closely together. As you know, Ken's a neurologist. And, so we work together on a regular basis. He orders a lot of exams that I interpret, and we discuss patients all the time. And, yeah, I've known Ken now for 20 years that I've been here. But I have yet to meet Beth. But it was pretty startling and pretty weird when I found out a few years ago, that he was married to Beth. Meanwhile, you know, I'd been listening to you talk about Beth for years and, you know, watching her skinny dip and all this kind of stuff. And I thought,
that's me.
This is a very strange kind
of relationship. Oh, no, she wasn't skinny dipping. There was no pool. The crazy, well, I haven't told the story
in a while. Jump naked on the floor?
In a million years, but I was delivering booze.
Oh, yes.
And I was up in the hills of Hebrew Heights in Studio City, and I was like, oh, it's up the street from my friend's house, female friend. And I thought, I'll just swing by and say hi. It was like during the summer, so it was like up the street. You know, back in the day when you'd be in the neighborhood of somebody. And I literally knocked on the front door, and the door just swung open. And then I like went, okay. And I just walked into the house.
Could be a porno movie.
When I walked in the house, I could see like the silhouette of two women sunbathing in the nude in the back, like in the yard. And
holy
I went,
moly.
Oh, what have we here? And so I started to
look like mud flops on a truck.
I started to circle around the house. And as soon as I started to circle around to the house, they got up. I looked out the window. They were gone. They got up and walked back into the house.
So where were you?
Cut off.
Oh.
I was so cut off in the back of the house.
Right.
I couldn't get out of the house now.
Okay. This is an assault, first of all, these days. This
It started off pretty innocently.
Right.
I was just stopping by to say hi. And, as a teenage boy, you see gals out in the backyard. And I went around. And then once I came to the house, I had to hide. What could I do?
These days, you have to tell your neighbors you moved into the neighborhood.
Right. How'd you get out?
I hid in the closet.
This is so Porky's.
What were my options at that point?
Then they started pillow fighting.
Oh, yeah. In my mind.
Yeah.
I didn't know where they were in the house.
How long were you in the closet?
I was on a delivery. So it's like I had to kind of drop it off and get back to the liquor store. Didn't know what to do. So I'd heard the shower fired up, so I assumed somebody was taking a shower.
Wow.
So I didn't know who was in the shower and who wasn't in the shower, but I knew it wasn't two on one. It was now one on one. And it was my time to try to escape.
Right.
I did not make it out successfully.
What happened?
The owner of the house.
But I mean,
she was in the kitchen.
Through.
I couldn't. It was a house that was shaped, I mean, like many houses, it was kind of a
kind of
long L shape, and I was in the very bottom back of the L, and there's no way to get out. I couldn't get out of the house without going past people.
Did the person who found you know you?
Oh, yeah. She was my friend.
Okay.
I was going to go visit
her. Was she like, what in the hell are you doing in my house?
Yeah, there was some of that.
I feel like you're playing this pretty close to
the rest. No, I scared the crap out of her
because
I was coming down the hall, and she was like in the kitchen.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Look at you.
I know.
So give Beth his best.
Yeah. And Kenny, her husband, was a very good friend of mine in high school, and I had a crush on Beth, but of course he was hanging around with me, and she made the more suitable choice.
She sure did.
Which is Kenny, who was going off to Brown to become a doctor, who was a senior. She, of course, liked him better.
She took the safe money.
So they became boyfriend and girlfriend, and then they, you know, he went off to college, and then they didn't see each other for 25 years.
What?
Yep. And then they got back together way later on and got married.
Wow. Oh, wow.
What a lovely story.
It's a crazy story, right? Oh, wait a minute. Is Philip still there? Philip?
Do you remember? Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, Paul is out here, too. Did you know Paul, Ken's brother, Paul?
No.
Older brother, I think.
I remember Kenny lived in North Hollywood with his family. He was a good baseball player. He was actually on the team that played at Dodger Stadium, the championship we played for.
Wow.
Beat Daryl Strawberry's team.
No, nothing.
With Daryl pitching,
I bet.
Off of the aforementioned Crenshaw to get to Dodger Stadium. And then was a good enough student to go off to Brown and become a doctor. And then I lost track of him, and everyone lost track of him. And then Beth and he, I mean, I say 20 years later, but it could have been, you know, 22, 23 years later. I don't know how long they've been married now, 10 years?
Something like that. Yeah, that sounds about right. I mean, it was so wild because, you know, one of my partners just happened to say in passing, said, did you know that Ken Carnes is married to Beth Ringwald? And I was like, at that point, I had already, you know, I've been a fan of yours for a million years. So I kind of knew all about Beth through you. And then I went up to Ken and I said, Ken, do you know Adam Carolla? And that's when he said, oh, yeah, that knucklehead. he introduced me to my wife. And that was pretty amazing.
And where was your wedding invitation?
Yeah. We took very different paths after high school, Kenny and I did, and I did not know his brother. But it was also, as I've always pointed out on the show, North Hollywood High was this potpourri of guys like Ken and guys like Ray.
Whoa.
And me and other guys.
There
was just such a big group of people. Some chose to kind of use the system and go off to college, and others chose
not
to.
Let
the time do you. Well, we'll see in Raleigh coming up this weekend, and you can pull balls. What, Saturday early show, right, Philip?
Yeah, that works for me. Saturday night, I'll be at both shows. So can't wait to see you. You guys are the best. You get me through every day, and I love you guys. You guys are tremendous.
Give up the Lord's work, Philip.
Thanks, Philip.
I will.
Yeah, and it's Good Nights Comedy Club. And yes, a lot of people go to the early show and say, oh, we're watching the late show, because the early show's a live podcast and the late show's stand-up.
Right.
So it's just a different show. So if
make
you
a night of it.
Make a night of it. God bless. Also, something I've just been wanting to say for a while, but I keep slipping my mind. I would talk to a lot of people in Golden, Colorado after the show, and they would go, oh, I go jogging every morning with you and the earbuds. And I don't know why I'm so in love with that notion of listening is good. Listening while at work is good. Putting the earbuds in and going through the hike, going through the jog. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I find that so appealing.
Yeah. Well,
or flattering.
I think you like that person better. We're jealous of that person.
At the same time, the jogging I am at. For some people, love it, but I imagine most people, it's either a chore or I have to force myself to do it, or it's like the jog. Here we go. It's early in the morning, and that's something that eases you, puts you at ease. It's enjoyable. It's something to look forward to. The carrot at the end of the stick, if you will.
All right. Max Zapata, something he's been sitting on for a little while, is a greeting card I believe it's a greeting card. Is it not, Max Spana?
Yeah, so it was Jen's birthday a couple weeks ago, and I went through the card aisle at the local Walgreens looking for a birthday card.
The old romantic.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, I don't know which one. Do I want the romantic one? Do I want the funny one? You know, pictures of a puppy or something. So I'm looking, and then I see one that I like had a pretty – I like the colors. I thought the design was cool. I pulled it out. But it was not a birthday card. It was like it's okay to say we are not okay. So I pulled it out, and that's what the cover was. It was in the birthday card section, though, so that's why I was confused.
It's okay to say we are not okay.
Like it's like a show of support kind of thing?
Yeah, but then I opened it, and it's like we're scared, angry, and for sure tired. On top of all that, we're still expected to step out into this world and function like everything's okay. We have the right to feel how we feel, the right to cry, scream, shut the world out, and dream of something better. We have the right to be who we are in this moment and do what we got to do to get through this. And we're going to do it together. And I was like...
For what occasion?
I don't know.
This is pretty broad.
Juneteenth, maybe?
It was a kind of a bummer card.
Well,
I mean... I like specifics. I wouldn't even know who to give this to.
Yeah. How about this card says thinking of you?
Yeah.
I went with the beaver. It's your damn birthday.
Did you really?
That's good.
Yeah. I've said this a gajillion times, but it's not me being insensitive, even though it sounds that way. When you just keep repeating, we're scared, we're angry, and then people go, you have the right to be scared. You should be angry. And it's like, I'm scared to leave the house. You should be scared. Yeah. You want to ruin a 23-year-old? That's about the fucking fastest way you can ruin a young person.
Yeah, stop just leading the witness.
Explain to them that they're scared and they should be scared and there's a target on their back and this is such a horrible time and a horrible society and it just makes everyone fucking miserable. Stop being so scared. It is narcissistic to announce you're scared of everything all the time. And the bottom line is nobody really cares about you, good or bad. Look, we don't care about who you are, what you do, or what color your skin is, or what your ethnicity is, or your heritage is, or who you want to fuck or blow or suck. That's your fucking decision. We don't really give a fuck.
And that should take all the pressure off of you.
It should, but it's like in a way, it's the ultimate weight of reality, which is saying, you know, you going, people judge me because of who I'm attracted to or my heritage or my or who I worship or who I sleep with or whatever. The bitterest pill of all to any young person is actually no one gives a fuck. We don't even know who you are and we don't care.
Yeah.
You're the car in front of us on the freeway or you're the person in front of us at the ATM standing in line. And that's about as much as we think of you.
You're absolutely right. That's why one of my favorite phrases, when you're 20, you worry what everyone thinks of you. When you're 40, you stop worrying what everyone thinks of you. And when you're 60, you realize nobody worried about you to begin with.
That is good or bad.
Yeah.
So now you have all the power.
Yeah.
I would like to return the power to you. Nobody's thinking about
by
you,
all means.
Good or bad. No one's trying to hold you down. No one's trying to lift you up. And you banding together with a whole bunch of like-minded asswipes who are talking the same way never seems to move the needle.
You know what a better greeting card would be? You know, the whole dance like no one is watching. Mm-hmm. It should say dot, 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 because nobody is.
Right. It's a better way to go.
I care about you guys.
No. Oh, yeah. Well, look, co-workers, friends, yes, family, indeed. Neighbors have that. That is your group, not society at large. Society at large is not interested.
Not interested.
All right. And the ones who say they are usually politicians who
they
are
want
feigning
something.
That. Yes, they'd like your vote. All right. Trevor Moore shall come back to the studio. He's here now, and we'll talk to him in a second. First, I'll tell you about LifeLock. After last year, we all deserve a little summer fun. But be on the lookout for travel scams by cyber criminals who want to steal your identity. Independently verify travel deals with the company. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives every day. We put our info at risk on the internet in an instant. Cyber criminals could harm your finances and your credit. Good thing there's a LifeLock. LifeLock helps detect a wide range of identity threats like your social security number for sale on the dark web. If they detect your information has potentially been compromised, they will send you an alert. Protect yourself with LifeLock. Right, Dawson?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but you can keep what's yours yours with LifeLock by Norton. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year by using promo code Adam. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or head to LifeLock.com and use promo code Adam for 25% off.
Well, director, producer, comedian, writer, actor, Trevor Moore is coming back to the show, and we'll talk to him right after this.